No End in Sight is the title of one of your organisation's reports about the long-term incarceration of Aboriginal people with mental illness. Can you define what you mean by no end in sight?
Look, it's a title that we came up with because I suppose we felt that the people who could make changes to this situation, our lawyers, our politicians, our community leaders, not only didn't seem to understand that this was going on, but also didn't seem to want to change it. Fundamentally, I was sort of outraged on a very sort of human level as an Australian citizen that, vulnerable citizens, our most vulnerable citizens, and our most vulnerable citizens from a particular race, the First Peoples of this country, were being indefinitely detained, treated differently before the justice system to everybody else. I just thought that this was something that, needed to be changed. I burned around and hopped on my soapbox, but it didn't seem to be listened to.
And there doesn't seem to be a lot of change, does there? Particularly in Western Australia, there's the standard pathway for someone with FASD who's up before the magistrate, plead guilty and cycle in and out of jail, plead unfit to stand trial and still go to jail.
Look, this is certainly the experience generally, and it's the experience in Queensland and the Northern Territory and parts of South Australia. It's not the experience of white Australians with a cognitive impairment, I must say. The only people who are indefinitely detained are Indigenous people, with rare exceptions, I think. And so there is people are being treated differently. It's a little bit more complex than just blaming our systems, though. Deinstitutionalisation only occurred 25 years ago. We're still really in the first generations of people that are now living in our community with a disability. And like all sorts of children who grow up, some children, when they grow up and become teenagers, commit offences like stealing cars and property offences, and they get in trouble with the law. This group of people is no different to the rest of society. The difference, though, that we experience is that they have an intellectual disability or an acquired brain injury, and so they may not understand their behaviour and the impact of it. And what we're doing is we're treating them the same as if they didn't have a disability when it comes to charging them and bringing them before the courts and imprisoning them, but we're not actually following through on that differing treatment in as much as we are then indefinitely detaining them. We're not indefinitely detaining anybody else.
Now, the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign lodged a complaint with the Australian Human Rights Commission several years ago about indefinite detention of people with mental illness. Any result from that complaint? Any changes?
Our complaints, our human rights complaints system is a legally constructed system. It's that way because it needs to be. It doesn't often yield much outcomes for people in indefinite detention and these sorts of situations because of the length of time. There's also a lot of arguments about jurisdiction. So the justice people argue that this is not something that is a human rights complaint. The disability people argue that this is not a disability issue, it's a justice people. And our human rights legislation is quite curtailed when it comes to this sort of complaint. The outcome for us has been disappointing at the Australian Human Rights Commission. But that's really about the flaws in our legislation as opposed to the process undertaken by the Human Rights Commission. We've had better success at the United Nations. The Committee on the Rights of People with Disability at a recent session where they reviewed Australia's progress in implementing the Disability Convention actually specifically referred to this issue and asked Australia to do a number of things, one of which was to end the unwarranted use of prisons as options for people with cognitive impairments who come before the criminal justice system. They made specific reference to it and asked for a number of things to occur, and I think it caught Australia a little bit by surprise.
What would you like to see done, particularly in Western Australia, Patrick McGee, to change the outcome for these people?
I suppose I look at it from an Australia-wide issue rather than an issue for Western Australia or Northern Territory. That's the place I start. These are Australian citizens. They deserve the same rights to justice that you or I enjoy. So things like limiting terms need to be enforced. Limiting terms means the same things that you and I get. So if I commit a crime and go before the courts, the judge will say you are guilty and you will serve 5 years. That is what people with disabilities should enjoy. There should not be an option for indefinite detention. There needs to be an end to the order so that people know what's going on and when it will end. That's one key thing that I think needs to happen. I think another thing that needs to happen is there needs to be dialogue between the Commonwealth and the states about this issue. The Commonwealth often say to us, this is a state-based issue because it's a disability issue or it's a justice issue, and these are things that are managed by the states. The states say, well, we've got a limited amount of resources. We've done what we can. There's no more money. We need to see the Commonwealth taking leadership about justice issues that affect all Australian citizens, and the states need to feel supported, but the states also need to step up and provide the sorts of accommodation options that mean people won't be indefinitely detained in prison.
Patrick McGee, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, Vanessa.
Patrick McGee, the coordinator of the Aboriginal Disability Justice Campaign, an organisation set up to reduce the long-term detention of intellectually impaired people. The WA government announced last year plans to build two disability justice centres, one at Kiara and the other a 10-bed centre in Lockridge for people who've been accused of crimes but cannot face court because they have an intellectual disability. Perth's Telethon Institute for Child Health Research has been awarded more than $1.4 million from the National Health and Medical Research Council to assess how many juvenile offenders in detention are affected by fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. Professor Carol Bauer is with me. She's the chief investigator at the Telethon Institute. Hello.
Hi there.
Can you explain why FASD sufferers are more likely to be in trouble? What's happening within their brain structure to bring them across the law more often?
People affected by fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, which is due to their exposure to alcohol during pregnancy, affects the brain, their brain development, so that they often have problems in learning, and they have problems with behaviour and development. They don't always have an intellectual disability, but they do have problems with what's called executive functioning, being able to understand cause and effect, to learn from experience, that sort of thing. And those disabilities can in turn lead to failure at school, to unemployment, to substance abuse, to mental health disorders, and not surprisingly, getting into trouble with the law.
Tell us more about the research project that you'll be carrying out in youth detention centres.
What we are planning to do is to offer screening and diagnosis for fetal alcohol spectrum disorder to all juveniles entering the only detention, juvenile detention centre in WA. So that's one part of it. So we'll be able to actually identify how many kids in detention have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. We don't even know that now. It might not be very high. So that's one of the outcomes of the study. We'll also be able, we'll develop a simple screening test in this study that then could be applied much earlier in the interaction with of these kids with the justice system. So perhaps when they first come into contact with the law, they could be screened, and then if they look like they might have a fetal or are at risk of a fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, could be referred for diagnosis, and then that might be able to change their pathway through the law so that they can have alternative sentencing strategies offered and better management that's relevant to their particular disabilities. And the second part of the study, sorry, I'll just finish that, is to provide what we call workforce development so that we can better manage, we can provide services, training, so that the staff that come in contact and look after these kids can better manage their disability while they're in detention, and yes, we hope.
So at least the staff can understand the person better that they're dealing with.
That's right, and there are, you know, ways that are particular to kids with this condition that can make life easier for them, and well, for everybody, actually.
It's a lot of money from the Research Council, the Medical Research Council.
Yes.
Clearly, there must be a sense that there's a great need for this kind of research within the Youth Detention Centre to really quantify the extent of youngsters with FASD in jail.
Well, this research grew out of two things, the community call for, and concern for youth in detention, or youth engaging with the justice system, and particularly from Aboriginal leaders and from a number of federal and state inquiries into fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and also from some other research that we'd done with professionals in the justice system who are really crying out for ways of being able to manage these kids better, and being able to offer something better to them. And in order to do that, they need to know if these children have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder, and that's very difficult to get that diagnosis from the justice, through the justice process.